Well, good morning. I am thankful as well and hope you are all blessed in this Thanksgiving. I have kind of a short opening-ish, so we'll try and keep it as short as possible. But there is much to be thankful, especially even within our church. We have a wedding, Drew and Josh, that's exciting, and a baptism coming up with Kaya, and we have a number of people who have been dealing with some sicknesses, and the praise and thanks to those that are praying for each other and supporting each other. This is a family that cares for each other, and so that's a wonderful thing to be thankful for. I just wanted to give you a little history. The tradition of Thanksgiving here in Canada, as with in America, goes back as old as our nations are. In fact, I read in the Canadian Encyclopedia, says that a group of Europeans led by Sir Martin Frobisher had a Thanksgiving feast in 1578 when they arrived safely to Newfoundland. And it says that they celebrated communion and formally expressed their thanks through the ship's chaplain, Robert Walpole, who, according to explorer Richard Collinson, made unto them a godly sermon, exhorting them especially to be thankful to God for their strange and miraculous deliverance into such dangerous places. It says that they had communion, and they gave thanks, and these are the first voyagers coming over. And we know that likewise the pilgrims in the 1600s, that they gave thanks with their thanksgiving after their first harvest. They had a three-day Thanksgiving feast. And in 1777, in the United States, the first national day of public thanksgiving and prayer was established. The first national thanksgiving in Canada was established in the province of Canada at that time, in 1859, and it was organized by Protestant clergy who appropriated the holiday of American Thanksgiving. And it says, quote, "In Canada, the holiday was extended, it was intended for public and solemn recognition of God's mercy." It's amazing to think that what our nations were founded upon and what the first forefathers and explorers all expressed. They expressed their thankfulness, they had communion, they were grateful for the mercies of God. And it's sad to see how that has changed. And even after the Confederation of Canada, they turned Thanksgiving right away into a civic holiday, trying to take the religiousness out of it. And that's only continued as years have gone by. But we give thanks to our Lord, for he is faithful and just and mercy. And he provides all our needs. Not the things that we think we need, but the things that we do need. He knows what we need. And this tradition is not just limited to just a few centuries. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, if you think about it. For when man sinned and fell short of God's glory, God pronounced judgment. Now, he could have destroyed man right there. He had all the right, and he would have been just in doing so. But instead, we read in Genesis 3, verse 17, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." We would have to work because of man's sinfulness. We give thanks to the Lord, for he did not destroy us in his judgment, and he still provides for our physical nourishment as well as our spiritual regeneration. And so I wanted to read from Psalm 26, which is a psalm that gives thanks, but it also speaks of God's righteous judgment. And when we think of judgment, we always think of punishment. But that's not all that judgment is about. For those who believe and trust in the Lord, in his judgment, we are vindicated. And so in Psalm 26, we read, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore shall I not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with the vain persons, neither will I go in with the dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I have washed my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. The Lord is judge of all. And as mentioned, it's not just punishment, although there is punishment for those who do not come under his grace and accept him as Lord. But he vindicates us through his righteousness, and he keeps us from sliding, from wavering, slipping, and shaking. David called upon the Lord to test and prove him, not that he was vindicated by his own righteousness, but through God's righteousness. Through his grace, he is declared righteous through God and desires to grow in that grace. Verse 3 speaks of God's loving kindness. Now we get love and kindness in here, but that's not all that it means. It means goodness, faithfulness, but above all, love. When we've been set free from the affliction of our sin and vindicated by God, shouldn't we desire to follow after him and to follow in his truth? In walking in truth, we should no longer sit down with vain people and those who want to divide God's truth. Yes, we walk in this world and we work and associate with many people of different backgrounds, and we are to be a good and faithful witness to them. But what it means to sit down with them means to partake in the same life choices. And we are called to repent of our ways and to walk in his light and in his grace, and to be an example unto them, not to hate them, but to love them in truth. And this congregation is called, in Psalm 26, those that try to divide God's truth. They're called evildoers, a congregation of evildoers, where the wicked sit. It's a congregation. You think of one day the Antichrist will come. He is the opposite, but in place of Christ. So this is like an anti-church. It's a congregation of the wicked. They are opposing God, opposing Jesus our Lord, and opposing the church. David says he has washed his hands in innocency. Whose innocence? It couldn't have been David's, for we know that he was both an adulterer and a murderer. Among many other sins, I'm sure he was guilty of. And he never hid from them, but he confessed them openly to God, knowing that he would provide forgiveness. No, it was the innocence of Jesus, for he is the man of innocence. He is the sinless one who took on the shame and sin of the world, that no man would have to be found guilty if they would come to him. And he is the altar we confess our sins at, for he alone is able to forgive and wash us of our sins. With hands, man can do all sorts of righteous acts through the power of God, through his Holy Spirit, but man can also do very evil acts with their hands. But it's the nail print hands of Jesus that provide salvation and is perfect. So we are to publish our thanksgiving to God, as verse 7 says. This publish means to be heard, to tell, to proclaim. It says even in musical terms, it's to sound aloud, as we have done this morning. So we are to show to God and let all know of our love and thankfulness to the Lord for his grace and mercy. In verse 8, it speaks of the Lord's holy habitation. We know this is in heaven. He dwells above. But his spirit dwells within the temple of regenerate man. As 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not of your own? We bring glory to our God and our Creator when we honor him with our words and actions as directed by his Spirit. Because we've been born of the Spirit, we will not face the fate of sinners. Not that we aren't sinners, but those who have not come to seek his forgiveness. The men of blood, as it says in verse 9, those who trespass against the Lord and do not seek his forgiveness. We know in Revelation that all mankind will be brought before the Lord. And those that are found in the book of life, it says that they will go on to dwell with the Lord for all eternity, for they have been saved. They have been covered with his righteousness. But those who refuse to will be judged out of the books. Now, implying two or more books, and many believe there is a book of your good deeds and a book of your bad deeds or evil deeds. And anyone found judged out of these, as God is a just and righteous judge, will be found wanting. They will fall short, and they will not be covered with his righteousness, the blood of his son Jesus. And it says that they are cast down into a lake of fire. And that's a sad thing to think about. It's eternal separation. And this is of greatest significance in our lives, because it deals with each and every man's soul and where it will end up. But verse 10 continues to describe the sinners as having hands of mischief, meaning all types of wickedness. Contrast with the hands that we read of in verse 6, where it says the hands of innocence. These hands of mischief, in verse 10, take the bribes in the right hand. Now you think of Judas, who for 30 pieces of silver took a bribe to betray his Lord. The wickedness that comes from the heart and acted out by the hands, when they do not fear the righteousness of God. And David concludes, But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place, and in the congregations will I bless the Lord. David repented of his sinfulness. He desired the righteousness of God. He desired to walk according to God's will, and knew God's mercy was sufficient. And on the path of God, Jesus is a stumbling stone to those who do not accept him. Those who reject him, they will stumble and fall. But to us who have put our faith and trust in him, he is the firm and even ground, the foundation that we firmly stand on. And so the prayer at the end is that our congregation would bless the Lord to stand on that even ground, to stand for his truth and not waver.